The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, welcome. Welcome to Happy Hour. I find myself smiling. I haven't even started with Happy Hour. I'm already happy. It's nice to see you all here. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Diana Clark, and I teach Happy Hour in general, alternating with Nikki Mercafori. And today I wanted to talk a little bit about something that we all know. We already know this. I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know, but maybe highlight it or bring it to our attention in a different way. And that is that actions have consequences. Of course they do, right? This isn't rocket science. It's not anything new. But maybe part of what's new is thinking just how thoroughly this is. All actions have consequences. Of course they do. Of course they do. So this includes actions in our minds. It's not just actions. It's not just like physical behaviors. Throwing things means that what gets thrown is in a new location. It includes the activities of our minds, the nature of our thoughts. So every word we speak, every thought we have, every action we do has a consequence. And you might ask, well, where do these words come from? Where do these actions come from? Where do these thoughts come from? Of course, they come from the mind. They come from this thinking organ. So when we indulge in or find ourselves stuck in things like resentment or some restricted, tight, non-generous thinking. Let's use that kind of vague expression. When we get stuck in some kind of this a loop of just thinking over and over and over again, or if we get stuck in this self-righteousness, like, I'm right and everybody out there is wrong, kind of into this us and them, me and you type of thinking. When we find ourselves stuck in that in a really tight, constricted way that has a lot of confines in which we feel maybe walled off from others, walled off from the rest of our experience. We create, we all know this, we create a number of problems. I'll use this word problems, difficulties, uncomfortablenesses, or restrictions, further restrictions for ourselves. The first is just actually having that experience of being stuck and feeling confined is uncomfortable. It's not a sense of freedom. It's not a sense of ease. Maybe while we're having it, it's the uncomfortableness isn't what's highlighted. But if the more that we have some familiarity with ease and freedom and malleability, flexibility, plasticity, the more we can feel the uncomfortableness of being stuck. So that's the first. The second is our best wisdom isn't available to us, most likely, when we're stuck, when we're tight. And if we don't have our best wisdom, maybe the actions that we do that arise from these places of thinking are not the best actions that we could do, aren't the wisest things that we can do, aren't the things that we could do that benefit others, that benefit ourselves, and benefit both others and self. Sometimes that takes some creative thinking. Sometimes that takes some flexibility in order to find those actions that can be for benefit for others and for ourselves. So the second thing that might arise when we are stuck in this kind of constricted thinking is that maybe our actions aren't the wisest, aren't the best versions of ourselves. And then the third consequence of having this stuck to thinking is that we are reinforcing a habit. We our minds can just get into a groove, and the more often we do things, the deeper that groove gets. I think we all have this experience, just kind of like falling into these habits. Well, this is what I always do when my partner says this thing, I just get irritated. And we find ourselves kind of like stuck in those type of responses. So neuroscientists like to describe the kind of this idea of neuroplasticity, that is the making of the grooves, but the same neuroplasticity that makes grooves allows for different pathways, neural pathways, different things to show up in our brain. Right there, neuroscientists are talking about brains, I'm talking about the mind. We're not going to worry about the difference between them for this. So that's the good news, that we can make different grooves. We can have, we can undermine some of our habitual responses. There's a few ways we can do this. One is to notice what our habitual responses are. Just notice what kind of grooves, quote unquote, that we're in. And sometimes just noticing, like, oh yeah, this is this habit. Using that language habit instead of the language, I'm just this way and I can't do anything else. Using the language, okay, this is a habit. It's perfectly legitimate I have this habit because of, there's all these other consequences that came together that made it such that I have this habit. Doesn't mean I'm a good person. Doesn't mean I'm a bad person. It means I'm a person who has habits. So we can notice, and sometimes just that noticing can be enough to kind of shift or change the ecosystem in our minds. Maybe introduce a little bit of a new element, the awareness of habitness, or maybe the awareness makes of the having being in that groove makes it actually, when we're aware of the groove, means we're not in the groove, so that we get out. So, just being aware of it is one way we can undermine these habits. A second thing we can do, and something that we're going to be practicing this evening, is to cultivate and develop other grooves, other habits, other inclinations of the mind, other tendencies of the mind. And those new tendencies undermine those other ones. So, of course, I'm going to talk about loving kindness meditation as a way to help cultivate and develop some habits of mind that really support some openness, support some flexibility, support a sense of what is of benefit for others and for me. Was there a way that I can find that we're all in this together? We're all into this human experience together. Is there a way that I can support that kind of thinking that gets us away from me versus you, us versus them? But before I go there, you may be thinking, well, does it really matter? These thoughts that I have, okay, so what if I spend time with that person who irritates me and I just spent all day being irritated about that person? Well, maybe our irritations kind of creates the conditions, plants the seeds for other bad feelings, in which we, you know, we start wearing this lens of irritation, and maybe that we're low on milk and probably should go to the grocery store doesn't become like, oh, I can't believe it, we're low on milk. Instead, it just becomes like, okay, I guess I'll just pop over to the market and get some milk for the coffee or whatever it might be. Maybe having a little bit of irritation can cause some distance, a sense that I have to protect myself or away from that irritant, quote unquote, out there. And that might cause some rifts or some separation. You know, it might be subtle to begin with, but some separation amongst coworkers, amongst family, people we share a household with, whomever. Of course, it reinforces this habit of being annoyed, but also it also can reinforce this attitude of taking things personally. Taking things like, oh, this is an affront to me, whatever the irritating person is doing. Instead of just being, well, this activity, this is something that this person does. Find that when they do this, I have this type of a reaction. That's very different, that they are an obnoxious person and I have to protect myself from them. When that person does this activity, I notice these types of thought patterns arise in my mind. There's a lot of freedom there. Just noticing, okay, this is a habit. Maybe something else can arise. Maybe we don't have to follow it. So all our actions have consequences. Even these little attitudes, moods, quiet thoughts that we have in our minds that we're not vocalizing, we're not sharing with others, we're not acting out on them, but I feel like they're planting seeds that which may grow and can grow into all kinds of things, have consequences that probably aren't what we want. So, it's part of why we do loving kindness practice is to plant different kinds of seeds. Seeds of openness and seeds of goodwill, benevolence, respect, care, compassion. Also, loving kindness can give us a sense of ease, a sense of comfort, a sense of well-being. There's nothing wrong with that. Spending some time hanging out there, feeling nourished by it, feeling nurtured by whatever sense of ease or well-being might arise. Because this, of course, also plants the seeds for different things to arise in the mind. So the way that I teach loving kindness practice is that there are three elements. I'm smiling because some of you have heard this so many times. And the first element is bringing to mind a lovable being. Somebody or some being for whom it's easy to feel care, warmth, goodwill, respect, friendliness, kindness. Some people choose somebody that has really helped them, supported them, stood by them when they needed some help. Some people choose puppies, kittens, babies. Doesn't matter who you choose. What matters is that it's kind of simple and straightforward, and that there shouldn't be a sense of struggle. Should it be this person? No, wait, this other person. Wait, no, this person. If you feel like there's a little bit of a sense of struggle, my general recommendation is just go with the very first one, unless that person starts to become irritating and they're no longer a lovable being, then you can go to another person. But the general instructions here are you could play around with this and explore. There doesn't have to be one particular way, but then there's a little bit of a caution that we might play around and explore so much that we don't ever really settle down and do the practice. So this is part of the art of practice, is knowing when to just stick with what you're doing and when to find or to adjust it and find something else. All of us will have our own way of doing that. You could use as a a guideline, as a North Star, is it promoting a sense of ease and well-being? Notice that I'm not saying comfort. They're not exactly the same, ease and well-being. There might still be a sense of, I don't know, a little bit of dissatisfaction, a little bit of discomfort, but at the same time, there can be a certain amount of contentment or well-being or ease. This is also part of the art of practice, is noticing how to do this and how to navigate this. So it's not only about chasing pleasure. We can chase pleasure all day long, right? And have one type of experience. Here we're trying to cultivate something, learn something, train the mind. So that's the first element. Bring to mind a lovable being in a way that feels supportive, in a manner that supports a training of the mind. We'll say that. The second is to use the sensations in the body. How do you know if something is supporting some contentment, supporting some sense of well-being? Often our bodily sensations can point towards that. But there can also be a sense of ease or spaciousness in the mind. So that's the second, is kind of use our physical sensations to support us, as well as maybe global, diffuse mental sensations. And then the third is we can repeat the phrases as a way to kind of help the mind just come back to, here's our intention to be developing loving kindness. We get lost in thoughts, we got to start thinking about something, and we just very gently come back. Of course you will get lost in thought. You've been thinking all day long. So this is kind of the inclination of the mind. So here we kind of use the phrases to remind us to just come back. And it's this coming back part that helps build these grooves in the mind I was talking about earlier. Of course the mind's going to go here. We just very gently, with a sense of warmth, kindness, bring the mind back. And we use the phrases to help this bring the mind back. Okay, so we'll take an alert, upright posture. So a posture that has some alertness as well as some ease. Some people like to use extra cushions for loving kindness practice. Some people like to lie down. You're welcome to do whatever feels like it would be supportive and help you to not struggle with your posture during the meditation. And we'll take 3 long, slow, deep breaths. We do this exaggerated movements as a way, it might be a little bit helpful to bring the mind to hear what's happening right now. It might be that with the exhale there's some relaxation, some letting go. Maybe a little bit of softening. And to further support that, we can bring our awareness to different areas of the body, just as a way to check in. It's not uncommon for people to feel tension around their eyes or around their jaw. Sometimes it's helpful to move the jaw a little bit. Sometimes it's nice to just tuck the chin just a tiny bit, just a little, almost imperceptible movement. But it opens up a little space in the back of the neck that supports some uprightness. Checking in with the ears, allowing them to slide down the back. I'm sorry, the shoulder blades are sliding down the back away from the ears. You're welcome to keep your ears on the side of your head. Check in with the upper back, the lower back. The chest. This is another place where there might be just a really, really small movement, which there's just a little opening of the chest by putting the shoulders back just a really small bit. Softening the belly. Feeling the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. Feeling connected, grounded, supported. You're here. The upper legs. And lower legs. The feet. Another place we can feel connected, grounded. Upper arms. Lower arms. And hands. What are the hands touching? What is the quality of what they're touching? Smooth or rough? Warm or cool? And then what are the sensations like inside the hand? What does the hand feel like from the inside? Maybe there's a little bit of tingling, a bit of throbbing. Maybe you're not quite sure what to call it, but there's some type of sensation. And in the same way as looking at the interior experience of the hand, what is the experience of breathing? What sensations are associated with breathing? You might be feeling the movement of the abdomen or the movement of the chest, or maybe feeling the air going in and out of the nose. Nothing in particular needs to be happening. We're just noticing the sensations of breathing. And we'll hang out here just for a little bit. Can you hang out with the entire in-breath? Can you hang out with an entire out-breath? What's the transition like between in-breaths and out-breaths? So this practice, mindfulness of the sensations of breathing, can be an alternative practice, can be a supportive practice. You can always come back to this practice if loving-kindness practice doesn't seem like the right practice for you right now, or if it feels overwhelming, you feel uncomfortable with it. You can always come back to this. And then to begin loving-kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being, someone for whom it's easy to feel warmth, care, kindness, respect. I like to think of it as like an interior smile, maybe an exterior smile also. A lot of appreciation or warm-heartedness. And you might check in with the body, what does warm-heartedness or appreciation feel like? You might feel a little bit of openness or spaciousness in the heart center, in the chest. Or maybe there's a softening of the belly. Maybe you're not even sure. You just know it when you feel it. That's okay too. And maybe you don't feel anything in particular. That's okay too. And then to support our intention of cultivating loving kindness, you can repeat silently in your mind these phrases. Again, having the lovable being in mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You might want to check in with the body and see if there's any corner of your experience, or maybe it's your dominant experience of some well-being, some softness, openness, spaciousness, contentment. If it is there, can you allow it to get as big as it would like? Key word is allow. It might be that you don't have that any particular feeling. That's perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. If there is a sense of openness, spaciousness, okayness, can you allow that to support you? Nourish you. And then coming back to the phrases, may you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And now, can we build on this foundation of loving kindness we've been cultivating? Do loving kindness for ourselves. Maybe you can check in with the body and see what response there was when I said that. Sometimes, for some people, it's not so easy to do loving kindness for ourselves. This is something we can cultivate and develop. So in the same way, can you bring a sense of yourself to mind? Either a visual sense of yourself or the felt sense of just sitting here right now. And then we'll just change the pronoun in the phrases. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Sometimes it can be helpful to augment our loving kindness practice with a little bit of equanimity practice. So for this practice, can bring to mind somebody for whom you have warm feelings, you care about them, and there's that thing that they do that's sometimes a little bit irritating. Don't choose the most difficult person. There's no need to choose the person that really gets under your skin. Just choose somebody who's mildly irritating sometimes. And you can bring this person to mind. And we'll say a different phrase. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your decisions for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. And then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground. Feel the pressure of the chair, the cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So one way to really kind of help cultivate or develop anything, right now we're doing loving kindness, but in order way to do that is to engage with it, engage with what we're doing, as opposed to maybe like, okay, that was that thing that I did, now what's next? So, and this is an opportunity to talk with others and share a little bit about your experience, some of your ideas, as a way to support your cultivation of loving kindness. I think we all have this experience that sometimes when we try to put things into words, we understand them differently, or we understand how we don't understand them, which is okay too. We don't have to understand everything, but just this movement of organizing our thoughts or recognizing what happened, reflecting on what happened, can be enormously beneficial. So I'd like to invite you to get into groups of three or four and share a little bit about what that experience was like. You don't need to share anything in particular. No need to talk about your deepest, darkest secrets. And just a recommendation to not, we're not about giving advice to each other. Nobody has to be fixed or, you know, in any particular way. This is more just an opportunity for us to share and explore a little bit what our own experience was. So if you want to get into groups, and then you have just a little bit less than 10 minutes, and then I'll ring the bell. Thanks. Sometimes after the small group, I open it up for questions. We're a little bit short on time, and sometimes it's just a long, awkward silence. So we all do that. So instead, I started this evening talking a little bit about how actions have consequences. So my wish is that our practicing together this evening has the consequence of maybe beneficial for all beings everywhere. Thank you.